As you probably have guessed, this is a full hour, a special hour on firearms in Georgia and the South, and we're collecting the comments that you have. From Milledgeville, here's Vincent Smith.
I think if we educate people that before you get a gun, maybe take people to a range and let them shoot, short video on the violence, and people think, you know, once they have a gun that they're invincible, but that's not the case. I can have a gun and still get shot.
We invite your opinions as well. Reach us, call us at 404-500-9457 or find us on social media. It's difficult to study gun violence unless you can calculate the cost. And how do you calculate the cost of it when what's often lost is human life? According to health economist Ted Miller, the societal cost of gun violence in Georgia in 2012 was more than $9 billion. Miller's with the Pacific Institute for Research and Evaluation, and he joins me from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Celeste.
So what exactly, what are your line items when you're calculating the cost of gun violence? What do you have to measure?
You have to measure your medical costs, the mental health care costs, the criminal justice costs, so the costs of police investigation, of courts, of prisons. You have to measure the lost wages, the lost quality of life, and the cost to your employer.
So let me play you this comment. 31-year-old Albert Davis in South Carolina was charged with murder. That's because he allegedly handed a gun to a 3-year-old boy, told him to chase another young man. The gun went off. It killed the young man. This is a comment from Dr. P. Alex Mabe. He's chief of psychology in the Department of Psychiatry and Health Behavior at Augusta University. And he's talking about what now happens, what that 3-year-old child now faces.
They will often have nightmares. They will have fearful reactions, anything that might remind them of these traumatic events. Often they're very vigilant, watching for, looking for danger. And so general stress reactions in a young child would be expected and would probably linger for a while.
How do you get at a cost for something like that? I mean, I assume it's included in mental health, but how do you calculate?
Frankly, we don't have good treatments for post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. So I can't actually include the medical costs for treating PTSD. When I did a cost recently of the cost of the Las Vegas shooting, I was very clear that there were 22,000 people in that arena. Most of them are probably going to need mental health treatment costs. A lot of the people who worked in the hotel may need mental health treatment costs. We don't have a good way to know what those are.
And let me play you another comment, because gun violence is a particular problem in Savannah, Georgia. So this is the voice of Kim Dulick we're going to hear. She started a group called the Savannah Peace Initiative. And here's her comment on when she very first moved to Savannah.
Once we moved here, first thought fireworks were going off. And I thought, do they really celebrate that much in Savannah? Every night we're having fireworks. And one of the neighbors said, you know, those are gunshots. It is almost an every night occurrence. And I've even got some people that have reached out to me who suffer from PTSD because of the constant gunfire.
So she mentions PTSD, which you also said, you said we can't really calculate. But she's also talking about the effect on a community, is she not?
She certainly is. And again, that my estimates are the costs of the firearm injuries themselves. I have not done estimates of the costs of the to the communities. And one of the reasons for that is communities that have a lot of firearm assaults and homicides also have a lot of assaults that are not with a firearm, a lot of robberies that are not with a firearm. And there's no easy way to separate the effects of crime in general and of gun-related crime from one another that I know of.
Okay, so those are some of the things that we can't calculate. Let's go back to the things that we can. Tell me a little bit about how much we're spending on to treat gunshot wounds and gunshot victims.
We're spending about $4 billion a year to treat the firearm injuries, and the mental health care costs of, say, survivors when somebody's killed, because that murder puts some people into mental health treatment. We do have a bit of data on that.
And that's separate from the $4 billion that we spend for their actual medical care?
No, it's part of the $4 billion.
And has that gone up? Is there a trend either down or up?
It's fairly stable over time.
How I mean, over time, like a decade?
Yeah, there was a period where there was a lot of drug-related violence going on, where firearm injury peaked because of the things that were happening with the drug trade on the streets. And it's come down from there, but it's been stable for quite some time now. And it's worth noting that in 1970, 1980, 1990, more than half of American households owned a gun. That's down to 40% of American households.
But also many households own multiple guns, meaning that the number of guns owned has gone up at times, correct?
That's right. And right now, the average household that owns guns has almost 8 guns. We have more guns than we have cars in this country. We have more guns than we have people in this country.
So let's take one fatality from a firearm. What does it matter when we're calculating the cost of that death? And again, we are talking about the loss of human life, and we don't want to be dismissive in any way, shape, or form. But at this point, we're just trying to get to the cost to America as a society. So is there a difference when someone passes away because they've been shot for whatever reason? Is there a difference between whether that was an accidental death when it comes to cost or a homicide?
Yes, there is. And homicides are more expensive than suicides, because suicides tend to be in older populations, so they lose less years of life. The unintentional injuries and fatalities are about the same cost as a homicide, perhaps a little bit less, again, because of age differences. But you see a lot of kids in the unintentional. But unintentional, only 3% of the deaths. Like, the deaths are about equally split between homicides and suicides, and that's almost all of them.
What do we learn when you're calculating these costs? What do we learn from that? How does that help us understand gun violence better?
It gives us a way to communicate clearly the severity of these injuries. When I tell you that the costs of gun violence are more than 1.5 times the cost of drunk driving, I think that gives you a different grasp of the problem.
And in comparison with the rest of the world, the United States numbers are significantly higher?
The United States numbers look like the numbers in countries with wars going on.
Okay. So when you are calculating the, I mean, how, let me just ask you this. How do you survive? How do you keep your own anxiety at a manageable level when your work is calculating the cost of gun violence?
Well, my work is calculating the costs of injury and the costs of substance abuse and the savings from prevention. What's frustrating with gun violence is that the Congress stopped the research on how to prevent it and how to prevent those deaths. And so it's frustrating not to be able to say, and here's what we can save if we do this, this, and this, the way we would with other injuries.
I assume you're referring to the point in time when they removed funding for the CDC to be able to spend anything on the research into gun violence, correct?
That's correct.
So what difference does that make for, as a researcher, how does that make guns different then as an industry from, say, the tobacco industry, which we, most of us are well aware, they were sued for the costs of cigarette use. Can that not be done with guns?
Congress also passed a law saying that you can't sue the firearm injury because somebody was killed with a firearm. They gave them a shield that they've given no other industry. The research on the death toll and the toll of smoking largely came from the Department of Health and Human Services. Art Kellerman, who was a doc in Georgia, was funded by CDC, this study that Mark Rosenberg was citing about you being more likely to die in your home if you have a firearm than if you don't.
Yeah.
Was Art Kellerman's work, and that's some of the work that they stopped. And it was done down in Georgia.
We're talking about the costs of gun violence. I'm speaking with Ted Miller. He's a health economist at the Pacific Institute for Research and Evaluation, and his work continues. Ted, thank you very much.
You're welcome.